Genesis chapter 2, verses 20 through 25. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God, for the principles that it teaches us. I want to thank you for your Holy Spirit working in our midst, doing things that no man can do. And I pray today, as we once again talk about relationships, and husbands and wives, that you would knit us together as married couples. And for those that want to be married, or for those that understand the importance of marriage, or for those that want to see the young people follow you in a biblical way, in the nature that you intended, I pray that every one of us would realize the importance of these principles that we'll be talking about today and practice them in our daily lives. So bless this time, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last week, we talked to the ladies about the three things that men need. A man needs to be respected. Ephesians 5:33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." A woman needs love. A man needs respect. Not only does a man want to be respected, he wants to be wanted. And I don't want to scare you, or I don't want to sound crass or out of place, but I'll tell you what, a man will be wanted somewhere, and he wants to be wanted by his wife. And if he doesn't get that, he'll find someone that wants him. And that's where things start to fall apart. The Song of Solomon 7:10 says, "I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me." And obviously, I hope our desires as married couples are towards one another. He wants to be respected, he wants to be wanted, and he wants to be valued. 1 Peter 3:6 says, "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." The Living Bible paraphrases that verse like this: Sarah, for instance, obeyed her husband Abraham, honoring him as the head of the house. And if you do the same, you will be following in her steps like good daughters and doing what is right. Then you will not need to fear, and he puts in brackets, in offending your husbands. So obviously, a man wants to be valued. 1 Peter 3:7, as we turn a corner, says, "Likewise, ye wives, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Three things in 1 Peter 3:7 I want to give you, and then I'm going to give you five things that Dennis Rady says that women need. Now, guys, we only need three things, but women need five things, and quite frankly, they need way more than five, but five is all we'll have time for today. But 1 Peter 3:7 says we're supposed to dwell with them according to knowledge, thoughtful of their needs in the Living Bible. Guys, we need to know what's going on in the lives of our wives. Knowledge, honor, giving honor under the wife is under the weaker vessel. It just ticks me off. And if I can just share my heart with you, I am absolutely disgusted how we're trying to get women to do men's roles. I hate women in the military. I understand that, well, originally, see, it's a creeping thing. Well, we'll just have them in there and they can do desk jobs and clerical work. And I understand all of that, but I'll tell you what, now we're having women carrying rifles in combat roles, flying combat missions, all of that, quite frankly, is a bunch of crap. I don't want a woman fighting my battles. They are the weaker vessel. Now, I know there's some women out there, a few of them, that could probably take me in a fair fight, but they're rare. That is not how God made them. And I'll explain some of that in my 5 points that Dennis Rainey says, but they are the weaker vessel. That does not diminish who they are. They're absolutely special. And obviously someone said, and now I'm contradicting myself, I don't mean to. One preacher says, let's just admit it. Women are stronger than men. And in some ways they absolutely are. Women are able to handle some situations that men can't handle. For instance, Bible teaches Genesis chapter 2, it's not good that man should be alone, I'll make a helpmeet for him. It does not say it's not good that woman should be alone, it's not good that man should be alone. I've found that women are better at being single than men are. Men are not good at being alone. We're pathetic. Now, women, on the other hand, have been married. Usually, statistics say, ladies, you will outlive your husband. And if that's the case, you are better at handling it. For a couple that's been married 50 years, and these are just the facts, you and I have seen it over and over and over. If the man outlives the woman, he's a basket case. If the woman outlives the man, she is able to handle it. She's just tougher in those areas. But when it comes to many, many, many things, the woman is the weaker vessel, and it's just ridiculous to argue that in my mind. So we're to have an idea of what's going on in their lives, obviously to honor them and treat them with tremendous value. And then lastly, that you're heirs together to become one, not hers but ours, not his, not mine, but together to become one. So Family Life Today is a program that's on our Christian radio station in the area. If you listen to it, you'll hear some things. You can go online and look at some of their stuff. And Dennis Rainey has come up with five things that he says that a man needs to do for a woman for the marriage to be strong. And I hope that these are things that you would be interested in. If you're married or want to be married, these are things that you ought to be looking at and hanging on to, because marriage is a lifelong process. Number one, a woman wants to be spiritually ministered to by her man. There's five things here. I ran these by my wife, okay? So her and I are talking this stuff over. And she came up with, this is the order he has. She ordered them differently. She did not feel like that this should be number one. But I submit to her that, and this sounds self-serving, that she's always been in a relationship where she has been ministered to by a man spiritually. And for ladies that have never had that, they would put that at number one. So I'm just saying, obviously, these five things, you could put them in one order you have. The other thing we did that was personally fun for me is, she rated me on a scale of 1 to 5 on how I do on these things. And I'll share my score with you as we go along on this stuff. So, all right. So, spiritually ministered to by a man. Speaking of Abraham, Genesis 18:19 says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of." I think men are intimidated somewhat when they're told you're supposed to be the spiritual leader in the home. I think they're afraid that that means, oh my word, I'm supposed to know all the things about the Bible. I'm supposed to have daily devotions with my family. I'm supposed to do all of these things. And God forgive me if I'm downplaying the importance of this, but I'm not. But the reality of it is I don't believe all of those things are required. And I wrote down just a few things that, you know what? If you're in church, men, with your family on Sunday morning, you're doing pretty good. Because there's a pile of them that aren't. Okay? So being in church is a step that would make you the spiritual leader of the home. If you have a quiet time, I'd like to think that all of us spend some time, sometime during the day, every day, with some sort of devotional guide or with your Bible or just something to give you some mental processes of the things of the Lord. If you're going to church and you're having a quiet time, that's very good. If you pray at the family dinner, Now, I don't always pray at the family dinner. We go around. We just keep making a circle, and whoever prayed last, it's next man up. And so we pray around. But if you just make sure, and, you know, we have fun. If somebody's eaten before we've prayed, we call them a heathen and all of that stuff. And, you know, but it's a lighthearted thing. But the fact is, we don't eat without praying first. We want to thank God for what he's given us and for his goodness. And it's a bonding time to pray together as a family. Dad, if you're making sure that's happening, that's making you a spiritual leader in the home. If you pray with the family, have a quiet time, you go to church. And another plus, if you're here tonight at 5:30 with our prayer meetings and you take some time to pray with your wife in the pew with you, or maybe up here at the altar, that's big. Now, folks, these things aren't difficult. Come to church, praying at meals, praying with your wife once a week. That's not... And I'll be honest with you, Emily and I, Lori and I, never had devotions together. Lori and I tried it. I didn't like it. We didn't do it. We both had devotions. We did them separately. I don't feel like I was a failure. I've heard preachers get up and say, oh man, you got to have a family altar. If you guys aren't having a family altar, your family's going to fall apart. You're going to hell. No, it's not like that. That's ridiculous. Everybody is different. Everybody has a different standard. But hopefully, however you're doing it, God's number one in your home. Does that make sense? So obviously, a woman wants to see her husband be the spiritual leader in the home. Number one, I scored a 4 on that on a scale of 1 to 5. I got a 4. I was happy with a 4. Number two, she wants to feel safe and secure. I scored a 5 on this. I thought that was pretty good. Song of Solomon 6:3 says, I am my beloved's and he is mine. I put down 3 things that she wants to feel safe and secure on. Number one, secure in your commitment. I will never leave you. Say that with me. I will never leave you. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He is our example. That is our example. We're going nowhere. Divorce is never going to happen. You may kill me, but I'm not leaving. Okay? There is a commitment there. You know, sad to say, there are couples that worry about whether it's going to last. That's stress that should not be in the relationship. That should never happen. There's no doubt, baby, when you get home, I'm going to be here. Somebody's going to feed me. All right? There's a commitment to one another. Secure in the commitment. Secure, I put down, secure in secrecy. You know, things that go on ought not to be blabbed. If you're having trouble in your marriage, if you've got a confidant, someone you want to share some things with, that's fine. But I've found a lot of times if a marriage isn't going well, the whole world knows. That ain't helping one bit. If your marriage isn't going well, guys, you don't go back to work and tell her she always burns the meatloaf, she doesn't care for me, she doesn't take care of my needs, yada, yada, yada. You know what? You probably don't deserve to have someone feeding you good meatloaf. I have found over the years in counseling, and I don't do a lot of counseling, but I do some. Counseling frustrates me. People don't do what they're told. But I have found in counseling, I'll meet with the man and I'm ready to kill the wife. She's obviously pathetic. And then I'll meet with the wife and find out I've been duped. I'm going to kill the man. And what I'm saying, the reality of it is in 99% of the cases, I only know of one exception in my entire life. 99% of the cases, you two deserve each other. Because two became one and you're both pathetic. Now that can be fixed. But there ought to be secure in secrecy in that good or bad, whatever's going on, the whole world doesn't need to know. And I want to know that if I'm talking something over with my wife, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here, that she ain't going to tell everybody she knows. That's between the two of us and the Lord. Secure in commitment, secure in secrecy, and secure in safety. Your wife ought to know that while on your watch, nothing's going to happen to her. Not going to happen. She is safe. I'll go down swinging, shooting, kicking, biting. You know, you're safe with me, baby. And if she feels like there needs to be locks on the doors, then you put locks on the doors. If she feels like she needs something for her security, if she feels like she needs a hand-cutting course with Ryan, then she should get one. Whatever it is, whatever you find out she feels would make her feel more secure, then you make that happen, because that's your responsibility. She needs to feel safe. Safe and secure. So, spiritually ministered, safe and secure. Number three, share an intimate conversation. I got a one on this. She opted to, well, maybe a two. So, I have no problem with that. I don't disagree with it. This is the part where you're supposed to be willing to share your feelings. I don't care to share. I don't want her to know how I feel. How was your day? It was fine. There's not a lot to go into on this. You know, and as she always, we no longer have this conversation, but when she used to pump me for details, I'd say, fine, I'll tell you how my day was. My first ticket was on such and such Blackstream Drive. I pulled the oil truck up to it. I put the ticket in the meter. I grabbed the hose. I pulled it over to the house. I hooked it onto the fast fill. I turned it on. The whistle started. And shut it off. That's about how it sounds if you know what you're talking about. Okay, and then I reeled it back to the hose. I pushed the button, and it went up in. I figured the ticket. I put it over in the door, and I went to the next stop. Would you like me to continue? Really, for a guy, there's not a lot to say. Now, we don't talk a lot amongst ourselves. If we're working with other guys, we don't share a lot of things. We're just doing our job. So when it comes to sharing feelings and things, I know there's a time and a place for that, and it absolutely should happen. But for me personally, and everybody's different, for me, this is something I really have to work at. It just does not come natural for me. 1 Peter 3:7 obviously talks about the responsibilities, and we've already said those things, and dwelling with them according to knowledge, and all of those things requires us that we share a part of who we are. But it can be difficult. A typical, and Dennis Rainey says, a typical couple spends only 4 minutes a day in meaningful conversation. 4 minutes a day. Now, folks, that's sad. It really is. Now, I'd like to think as Christians that's just not who we are, but I'll bet you it's pretty correct out in the world that we do. We spend an awful lot of time and energy on others, and when we get home at night, there's nothing left. And that's kind of sad. Sharing in intimate conversations. Number four. Receive tender touch and gentle words. I call this soothing. So we've got spiritual, safe, sharing, soothing. Receive tender touch and gentle words. I got a five on this one. Before marriage, Dennis Rainey says, before marriage, two people in love can hardly keep their hands off each other because they find the touch of their beloved thrilling. What happens after the wedding? Some couples married for a while would find a firm handshake a wildly intimate encounter. Now, that's pretty good. But you've heard me talk about this in the past, and studies show that there's something about touch in human beings. God wired us this way. This isn't out of bounds. It's absolutely normal. There's a reason why confinement in prison, solitary confinement, is so devastating to someone. We need each other. We need relationships. And in marriage, we need touch. And a healthy relationship has at least 12 touches a day. Now, I never walk by my wife without touching her. That's just who I am. We were the first ones in constant contact. I know there's a program you can buy now that keeps you in constant contact, but that's not it, okay? That's just the way I am. And I was like that as a kid. I'm going to regret this. Should I share this part or no? No? You don't care. They're going to use it against me down the road. I know it. But anyway, I've wandered into it. We always had dogs as a family. I'd never walk by the dog without touching and petting the dog. Even if it was just for a second, there's the dog. I pet the dog. I keep on going. There's something about now I walk by my, now I walk by my wife. I touch my wife. I do the same thing with my kids. I pat them on the head or thump them on the back or spank them going by or whatever. But, you know, you can do this. This isn't hard. But there's a tender touch and gentle words. And this is where there needs to be communication that you say only to your wife, guys. You know, of how important they are. You're valuable to me. I used to say things to Lori that I have never said to Emily. I don't know that I've ever told her this. Because those are things I said to Lori, and they were absolutely personal to her. And I'm not going to say to her, to Emily, what I said to Lori. This is new chapter, different life. But I try to make sure I think of things that I've never said to Lori that I want to say special to Emily. Because, man, she's got value to me. And I don't, this isn't cookie cutter stuff that, these are the lines I use on women and I'll just keep using them on you, babe. You know? That's no good. Does that make sense? There needs to be these personal things that her and I love the way we talk. And now we've gotten into texting to one another. And you know, in our texts, honestly, probably you wouldn't read in public. But I don't care. It's my wife. You know, you ought to be able to do those things together. Does that make sense? Now, you guys are all going to never come back again. I can tell right now. Receive tender touch, soothing. And then lastly, so we've got spiritually ministered to, safe and secure, intimate conversation, sharing, soothing. And lastly, pursued and set apart. I call this sanctified. I only got a 3 on this. But the sanctified are pursued and set apart. When we were dating, and our dating story is a little different because I was just pathetic. But guys, for the most part, when we're dating, we're willing to do whatever it takes to get the game. You know, if we're hunting, we'll go out in the morning before light. We'll sit in a stand or freeze or whatever. We've studied the movement of the herd. We're ready. We know. We've got all of the stuff. I used to take a gun, a knife, and aftershave. You say, what's that about? Well, I'll tell you, I don't know how many deer you've shot, but once you got out a deer, there's a smell on your hands that is horrendous. And I found that if I washed my hands and threw aftershave on, at least it was a little bit better when I got home. So obviously, I was always prepared. The aftershave is for the kill, you know? So anyway, I suppose you could make that in other areas, but that's not my point, okay? So we were ready. When we're dating, I'm telling you, when we're dating, I don't particularly like to do certain things, but if that's what's required, I'm in. And then once you get married and you say, hey, let's go see such and such. I don't really want to do that. Well, we used to. Sorry, babe. Game's changed. It's over now. And see, that's wrong. We should be willing to continue to pursue like we pursued before. Because the fact is, you know what? Relationships don't always last. Because just because you think you got them in the bag, guys, that's not the case. They need to be one and one and one and one and one again. And that's extremely important. Because that person, and I've got to bring this thing to a close, there's 2 points I want to tell you. Number one, Genesis chapter 2, Adam had never seen Eve, but God created her specifically for Adam and presented her to him. Now, when God chooses your mate, folks, you can't go wrong, okay? The reality of it is, if you are married or if you're going to get married, there is a person in your life that God created especially for you, and God is presenting that person to you. And if you've got it right, and you had better had, you'd better prayed about it and pursued it and done all of those things that you're supposed to do spiritually before you get in the sack. Because I'll tell you what, you start the physical before you've closed the deal. You can't think straight enough to find out it's the wrong deal. That's what happens. Then the next thing you know, they're married and they're miserable. Why? Because you got it all messed up. Don't you dare do anything to jeopardize what God has for you. And if you're sleeping around before marriage, you're destroying the pact that God, the plan that God had. And I can't guarantee you that it's going to work. Fact is, it probably won't. You don't hear this very often, but I'm telling you, I'm sick and tired of seeing relationships fall apart. And in most cases, they were not faithful at the altar. I know you don't want to hear that stuff, but it's true. God presents that person to us sanctified, holy, set apart. And I'm telling you, that's something special. And you and I, we own certain things that are special. And I would downplay the importance of the husband and wife by saying I've got something that's special and it's sanctified. But the reality is our special stuff, we don't let anybody touch it. That's ours. You leave it alone. That's mine. I take care of that. Or if we get something, we realize how important it is. We sanctify that in our own minds. We set it apart and we hold it special and we don't want anything to happen to it. And I'll tell you what, that woman right over there in the front row, she sanctified my mind. She's special to me. Nothing's going to happen to her. And I'm going to treat her. And one of the things that gets me a little bit is that my in-laws are up there in the front row in the balcony. And they raised her special, growing her up, hoping someday she'd get married and have kids and fulfill the dreams that she has. And for all of those years, the 25 years, I did not even know her. She was being raised and taken care of in God's plan for me. And you talk about how awful is it that when we diminish. So every now and then, one of the things I say to Emily is, I'm glad you live with me. I know you say you would, that sounds strange, but I'm not kidding. She could have lived anywhere. She could have done so much better. But it's a humbling thing to me that woman moved into my house and she lives there. And that's extremely special to me. And I don't know about guys, I don't know if you've thought about it, but how great is it that you got to have a woman of your very own, special, exclusive, sanctified, holy. I don't know. I can't put a price on that. Finally, 1 Peter 3:8. Be all of one mind, having compassion one another. Love his brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. So those are the five things. Guys, if you dare, go home and ask your wife to rate you on a scale of 1 to 5. And if you need counseling, you can talk to Mark or Scott. There you go. So it all starts with Jesus Christ, making him the center of your home, knowing your sins are forgiven, knowing that you're created by God on purpose, for a purpose, and he puts us together. And I'm telling you, when you're doing it God's way, it is awesome. Heavenly Father, I pray every person here knows you as their personal Savior. I pray everyone here has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. And God, I pray that everyone here has a desire for their relationship to be exactly as it should be and enjoying the fruits and the blessings and the benefits of it. Lord, we love marriage. You made it. You endorsed it. You created it. And Satan is trying to destroy it, and he's doing a pretty good job. And the sad thing is we're letting him. Well, I pray that today that stops today. There's no inroads into our relationships, no openings where he can find a weak spot. We want to be sold out to you. We want the world to see that a home centered around Jesus Christ and a husband and wife that love one another and want to raise up kids to grow up and nurture and admonition of the Lord, we want the world to see that that's just plain works. That's the way to go. And Lord, if there are any struggles going on here today, I pray we'd give them to you, confess them to our husband and wife, just make it the best we possibly can because it's so wonderful. It ought to be. You made it. Bless our invitation, Lord. If folks need to do business with you, I pray that they would. But I pray that every person, every relationship goes home today a little stronger than they were because you're in it. Thank you for this time as we sing a song and give you a chance to work on our hearts and lives. I pray we'd not miss any opportunity, not do anything, not leave anything undone. In Jesus' name, amen.